and welcome to the Drew Allen Show. This is your host, Drew Allen, the Millennial Minister of Truth. What is the purpose of government? What, as a matter of fact, is the purpose of laws? Why do we have laws? Do we have laws on the books to punish law-abiding American citizens? Do these laws that are supposed to be on the books, are they created so that the government can terrorize the American citizen in violation of our constitutional unalienable rights? Well, of course the answer is no, but you wouldn't know that because the world that we're living in is not that America. And this ongoing effort, which is successful at the moment, to try and take property away, seize assets from Donald Trump over this totally fraudulent, insane fraud case where no one was actually defrauded. There was actually no crime here. Nobody actually faced any consequences in terms of suffering from anything that anybody did here. And of course, the banks were all on board. They said in the testimony that Trump was a great client. They couldn't wait to have him as a client. And he, of course, made them a lot of money. But, you know, I do want to get into some things here because, unfortunately, as we talk about all these specific issues that are facing us in America today, what's happening to Trump, what's happening at the border, what's happening to the country at large, you know, you really can't have a comprehensive discussion about these things unless you understand the so-called root cause, which is fundamentally a perversion of the United States of America, the charter, the contract that we have, the Constitution, because we have an out-of-control government that believes itself to be the master, and we the people, the citizens, to be their servant. And of course, that is the opposite of what the Constitution states. So our government is abusive, and that's why I say, you know, this is, you know, 2024 is the second American Revolution. I wrote a book about it, America's Last Stand. We vote to save or destroy America in 2024, and these are the things that we're up against. And that's why this election, 2024, is a critical point, not just since you've been alive and I've been alive, but in our history. It is as important a moment as 1776 and 1861. So we as American citizens, as patriots who love this country and still maintain positivity and will not give up on this country because it is all we have, you know, we have to address reality. We have to accept reality. And unfortunately, things are very, very dangerous for this country right now. We're in a very perilous period in history, but we will persevere. And we are the ones that are going to save this country. So listen, I mean, I want to start with the Declaration of Independence itself as a background to this, which, by the way, wasn't just declaring independence from Great Britain, and that was a one-time thing and done, and then we moved on from it. The Declaration of Independence is as relevant and important and influential today as the Constitution is, okay? But you all know these words, right? But let's just say them. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? And the pursuit of happiness can be understood as property, in the way that they understood that word as well, to own property, to have things. That to secure these rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So the government exists to protect these rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for the American citizens. So the government exists to serve us and our needs, not the other way around. And yet what you have happening, this disgraceful communist behavior in New York with this fraud case, is exactly the opposite. Now, what you'll learn is that there are a number of laws on the books in this country that are antithetical to the Constitution itself. And of course, the law, the fraud, you know, that they're citing to pursue Trump, that they used to convict him here, and now they're trying to seize his assets, it's something that's never been used because it's insane. It's insane. And of course, leave it to New York to have this on the books. So, you know, a couple things are happening here. In terms of the specifics of this, obviously, the Letitia James, I don't even remember his last name. I want to call him Erdogan, like the Turkish, you know, president or prime minister or whatever, you know. But anyway, the guy that was the judge in this case, there was no jury, of course. The judge that decided that Trump had to pay nearly $500 million in fines and penalties. Well, you know, of course, this is going to be litigated still. Trump is going to fight this in an appeals court, obviously. And they are insisting that in order to, even before he can appeal this case, he has to post the money up front, you know, a bond. And of course, people and experts say that you need, you know, basically double that in order to get that type of bond. And the ignoramuses on the left, of course, have no comprehension about money and finance and liquidity and so on and so forth. They don't understand that, you know, billionaires don't necessarily have $1 billion in their bank accounts. It's tied up in property and assets and so on and so forth. But anyway, it's absolutely absurd because obviously if Trump were to win the appeal and they said, okay, you know, this is ridiculous, which it is, it's absurd, it's communist, you don't have to pay this bond, we're throwing this out. Well, what they're trying to do is have him go ahead and sell his assets or have them seized ahead of time. So basically, he would lose his property even if he won the case. So this is the kind of disgusting behavior that's being exhibited by the left. And you know, I, before I get into this a little bit more, I do want to point out something because, perfect example, because I'm talking about, remember, the focus is, what is the purpose of laws? Why do we have them? Well, they exist to protect the citizen. And yet, we have laws that are not protecting the citizen all over the country, with the George Soros, you know, attorneys and DAs and so on and so forth that are actually protecting criminals. Obviously, I mean, this is insane that this is happening, but it is happening in America. But there's a story here from Hot Air written by Jazz Shaw. And the title is New York's Squatter's Law Must Be Changed. Now, you won't believe this, or maybe you will, given everything that we've learned about this country in the last 4 years, certainly, and what's going on. But you have this woman, Adele Ondaloro, Adele Ondaloro, and she inherited her family's home that's worth $1 million in this neighborhood in Queens, New York City. Now, as soon as she was taking control of this home that was hers, a couple of squatters, two or three of them, whatever, broke into the house and started living there. Now, these are not tenants, right? Because tenants, you have a contract with the landowner or the owner of the property owner, manager. And in this case, obviously, none of that's happened. These are criminals who broke into someone's home. And yet, listen to this. None of that's going to matter. As it turns out, New York City has a law declaring that people can declare squatters' rights after living on a property for just 30 days. Now, hear this. It would take more than 30 days for Adele Ondaloro to get a date in housing court, even if she had begun the process on the day the thieves moved in. So if they can find a lawyer willing to take up their case, Jazz Shaw writes, they can begin court proceedings and tie up the home for months, if not years. So is this not shocking to you? So as a property owner, you have no rights. Someone can burglarize, someone can break into your home in New York, and they can take your home from you. I mean, this is the most insane thing I've ever seen. Most insane thing I've ever seen. And yeah, I mean, here we go. This is an amazing, actually, you know, this, what you just saw on the screen, we'll get to in a minute about this RICO stuff. I mean, AOC, leave it to AOC, the most brilliant bartender ever to serve in Congress, I guess. But, you know, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know, she is making the argument that RICO isn't a crime, even though, of course, in Georgia, they're trying to try Trump and others with RICO, on RICO charges. So, unbelievable. But, you know, so, yeah, I just want to go through a couple of these things with you, and then we're getting some audio clips, what's going on at the border and everything, too. There's just so much to get into today. It's so rich. But, again, the point is that we're living in very much a post-constitutional, so, certainly a post-American America. And, you know, it's going to stay that way, and we're going to lose the country if we don't win in 2024. That's just the reality, all right? But the good news is, of course, the Democrats are scared to death that they're going to lose in 2024. As a matter of fact, they really I've got a time piece I'll get into in a minute, and I've got some hilarious pool quotes because it's fun to see the Democrats wax eloquent in their pieces to their audience, because you can't help sometimes but just laugh at them, because they are very, very stupid people. Not everyone, but obviously, you know, certainly the people that write for Time magazine and the leftist propagandists. I mean, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know, RICO, that's not a law. How can you, you know, anyway. So a couple other things. I mean, the reality is the criminals are actually running our government. And, you know, that E. Jean Carroll defamation case is the perfect example. And I just want to remind you what happened there. E. Jean Carroll is an absolute lunatic. She went on Anderson Cooper and said that rape was sexy, amongst other things. Now, this is a woman who for 30 years never said a peep about, you know, one of those famous people in the world, even before he was president, Donald J. Trump, you know, that he raped her in a Bergdorf Goodman dressing room in broad daylight. Now, she didn't know what year it happened. She didn't know, you know, exactly what time of year, the year itself. She couldn't recall any of that information. And of course, when she came out with this book, which she portrayed herself as, I'm not saying this disrespectfully, these are her words, you know, she's the most, you know, basically proud to be the most sexually assaulted woman in America, according to her. She calls herself the, what's the exact word here? The slut who won't shut up. That's what she, you know, she's called herself. So yeah, I mean, she's a beautiful woman, obviously there. Anyway, so E. Jean Carroll brings this case. It's beyond the statute of limitations. 30 years later, decides, well, I've got a book coming out and I need to sell books. Now, nobody would actually publish a story on what happened to her because it couldn't be corroborated. In other words, they felt like it was not true, right? So she had to publish her own op-ed. I think it was at the New Yorker that ran the piece that broke the story that, oh yeah, Donald Trump raped her at a Bergdorf Goodman dressing room. Now, there were no witnesses or anything either. And so the only reason this case was allowed to proceed is because, of course, the governor of New York, Hochul, well, she passed a law called the Adult Survivors Act that gave a one-year window to suspend the statute of limitations, which what? Opened the door for E. Jean Carroll to bring this absurd claim that Trump raped her. And here's the thing. It was a civil trial, which the preponderance standard in a civil trial is 51%. What that means is you don't have to, as a juror, believe beyond reasonable doubt, you know, 101% that this happened. You just have to believe 51% that it might have happened. So it leaves much room for emotional rulings rather than factual ones. But here's the thing. E. Jean Carroll claimed that Trump raped her, right? And the jury actually, despite the media's lies, they keep repeating this, that Trump is guilty of rape. That's not what happened. In fact, the jury did not believe her claims. They said in the end that he was guilty of battery, not rape. And so she went to court claiming that he raped her, and even the jury didn't side and believe her. They said, okay, well, whatever, we'll just go with battery. You know, we don't feel so bad about that. We're not going to go with rape because there's no evidence, but, you know, battery, we'll give you that. And so, of course, he's ordered to pay $83 million or something like that for defamation of her. But who defamed who? She's the one who defamed him, who accused him of being a rapist, and he wasn't even found guilty of rape. And yet you have the criminal in this case, E. Jean Carroll, who's a lying hack and a fraud, who went after Donald Trump, and he's the one paying her the $83 million. Do you see what kind of world we're living in America? It's an insane one, to be sure. So anyway, you know, I just think it's amazing, too, because if you look at this fraud case with Trump, you know, they're basically saying, well, you know, he inflated his net worth to get favorable loans. I mean, whoop-de-doo. Cue up, as a matter of fact, though, first. I mean, this should end it, to be honest. This should end this whole case. But it's cut four. So you have to remember that, you know, the left has been trying to persuade the court of public opinion in terms of all these cases anyway by leaking information, even if it's not true. So in the case of the fraud, they kept saying that, you know, Mar-a-Lago was only worth $18 million, which anybody with two brain cells to rub together knows that that's absurd. Rush Limbaugh, God bless his soul, the GOAT. I mean, he sold his home, his private home, for more than that, you know, or his wife sold it for more than that not long ago. But you can look at real estate value down there. And I mean, you have to be an absolute fool to think that Mar-a-Lago is worth $18 million. And so they pumped that out, and to say that he inflated, right? That was evidence that he was a liar and he was some kind of cheat, because, you know, the judge is saying Mar-a-Lago is only worth $18 million. Trump said it's worth, you know, several hundred million or $1 billion even. And go ahead and play cut for. So CNN said it was worth $18 million. But now that they're trying to seize his assets, they've changed their tune. Go ahead and play it.
I think you need at least 30 days to get any of these properties sold. But the property that you alluded to, Mar-a-Lago, potentially that could be something that could be sold quickly. I think the valuation is something in the hundreds of millions, and I think there could be a buyer for something like that.
And that would be literally, if you're talking about doing that between now and Monday, that's picking up the phone, calling someone, and then literally writing a check.
Yeah, I mean, there could be plenty of international people who want to buy that property. I mean, there's properties that are priced at 150 and 200 million that are nearby that. And Palm Beach is like the NVIDIA, yeah, of real estate. It's just shot up like a rocket. And people do want to live there. They've moved there. So I think that would be the best case scenario as to proper. If he's trying to sell quickly, I would encourage that.
So, all right. Now, that's $240 million estimated. I mean, who knows? You know, he's a desperate seller in this case. Someone picks up the phone and makes that call this week. So I don't know what it'd be. That's still half, right, of what it would be.
Oh, my. It's interesting how they're just speculating wildly about what it could be worth. Well, there's all these factors that play into it. It might be worth $240 million. That's based on our new estimates now that we've actually looked at property values around there. Even though, you know, not long ago we said it was only worth $18 million. My, oh, my, how things change in a matter of months. And of course, well, he may not get $240 million. It may be worth less because he's a desperate seller. So someone might be able to take him to the bank. We'll buy it for $100 million because you're desperate to pay off this bond. So the idea that Trump committed some kind of fraud by going to banks and saying, you know, I think I'm worth, you know, $2 billion, $4 billion, whatever else, that he would inflate his net worth. Your worth is what someone, and multiple people may have different opinions to assess. And the worth of anything is what someone's willing to pay for it. And it's amazing, too, because you have the federal government right now. This is what's astounding. You have the federal government, right, that inflates job data only to revise it downward. Never forget Q2 of 2022. Joe Biden lied to the American people. So did the government. They said he created over 1 million jobs. And then in December, we had the Philadelphia Fed, I think it was, in this case, that came out, looked at the numbers and said, actually, he only created 10,000 jobs. So you had the government that inflated job data by 1 million jobs, a flat-out lie, committed fraud in the area of public opinion in order to pretend that the economy was doing well, to make themselves look good amidst what everyone knew, which was a collapsing economy, which we're all experiencing. So, you know, they inflated COVID deaths. They create entire myths like man-made global warming or climate change, for example, to push an anti-human agenda. So give me a break with the defamation, the fraud, and so on and so forth. Now, I want to get into something else for a minute here. I want to cue up, actually, let's see here. I believe it is cut two. So we had a hearing this last week regarding the Joe Biden impeachment. And Byron Donalds brought the receipts. And the thing is, so you have juxtaposed what's happening with Trump right now. They're trying to seize all his assets for doing nothing wrong. And meanwhile, you have all this abundant evidence, the kind of evidence they dreamed they had on Donald Trump with Trump-Russia collusion or any of the other hoaxes they perpetrated on the American people and Trump himself. But you have all this actual data, information, and proof, if you will, and the Democrats want to claim that this is some kind of witch hunt going after Joe Biden. But play Byron Donalds here, cut two.
Into Sarah Jones Biden's account on the same day she withdrew it from Lionhall. I want to submit
without
that.
Without objection to order.
Last document. On September 3rd, 2007, from Sarah Biden's own personal account, there is a check that is written to Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., the President of the United States today, for $40,000, signed loan repayment. A loan repayment, by the way, that Joe Biden's own personal accountant, Mr. Eric Schwerin, has no record for. I want to submit that for the record, Mr. Chairman.
Without objection, so ordered.
To the members of the committee, it is clear that the source of this money came from CEFC, and that CEFC is a company that is directly linked to the CCP and actually the chairman of the CCP, the chairman of the Chinese Communist Party, Chairman Xi Jinping. With that, I yield.
So Joe Biden, amongst many other things, what you just heard there, of course, for the 50th time, if you've been paying attention, is that Joe Biden, of course, has been paid personally by the Communist Chinese Party, the CEFC, the energy company that had ties with the state-run government, right, the CCP. So we have somebody in the Oval Office who has taken money from the CCP. And many of you probably will be privy to the fact that the Communist Chinese exert great influence over this country and our politicians. And as a matter of fact, it seems that the Democrat Party itself is sympathetic to communism. What's happening in the fraud case is an example of communism. What's happening with the lawfare all across this country is evidence of communism in America. And as a matter of fact, I want to bring on this next guest. He's the senior investigative reporter for the Epoch Times. His name is Nathan Hsu. And he is going to tell us about this remarkable story about the New York Times, as a matter of fact, who seems to be very sympathetic with the communists that are persecuting, right, those people in China who have fled for, you know, religious persecution, for example. They've come to America, which is supposed to represent, you know, this type of thing. I mean, as a matter of fact, the early Americans, the pilgrims, came here to escape religious persecution. So we should be defending these people. And yet, it appears that the CCP is exerting influence even over the New York Times. And we'll tell you about that story now with Nathan Hsu. Hey, Nathan, thanks for being with me here, sir.
Oh, hello, Mr. Allen. Thank you for having me.
Well, first, I just want to say, you know, the Epoch Times does probably the greatest work in terms of exposing the Communist Chinese and their involvement here, as well as the just unbelievably barbaric behavior in China. But what, so you have this group, you have this, well, okay, Falun Song, I have to say, right, is a spiritual discipline that was, you know, what, banned in Communist China in 1999?
Well, Falun Gong, it's a spiritual group who, it's like a Buddhist discipline spiritual group, you know, they practice three spiritual principles that's called truth, compassion, and tolerance. And they believe the life after death. And in 1999, you know, based on the communist regime's own statistic, there was like close to 100 million people, Chinese people, practicing this practice in China because of the tremendous health benefits of practicing the meditation. So the communist regime started a persecution against this group in July of 1999. So it's been, the persecution has been going on ever since.
And so to bring us to where we are in America with these individuals, you have something called Shenyun, which is a performing arts company, as I understand it, right? And they have an association directly with Falun, Falun Gong, right?
Yes, Falun Gong. Shenyun is a world-class performing group that tour. They have eight companies touring around all around the world. Each year they provide, you know, they visit more than 30 countries. Last year they had like more than 700 shows around the world. Now, Shenyun Group was started by a group of Falun Gong, you know, practitioners who are artists who came to the United States. And now, you know, these artists, you know, when they came to a new country, they kind of lost their opportunities to practice what they learn and their specialty. You know, in fact, personally, I knew a Falun Gong practitioner who was one of the Shenyun artists. His specialty was a play cello. Now, you know what the kind of work he got? He worked for one of the California county jail as a correctional officer after he came to the United States. So all these people who, you know, left China because of the persecution and came to the United States, eventually they kind of like got together, and they start, that's how they, back in 2006, they started as a Sen Yun performing group. They touring around the world to present the traditional Chinese culture prior to communism, and people watching this really a world-class show, they walk away from the show, you know, with the idea what China could be like if without communism. So that's why this group has been always systematically, you know, suppressed by the Chinese communist regime through their, you know, embassies and consulates overseas.
Well, and in the report that I saw that was, of course, from Epoch Times was, you know, that the CCP had put out an order effectively that was attack the overseas Falun Gong headquarters, which is in New York, upstate New York, and bases systematically and strategically, which you were just saying there. And this is a CCP directive. So you actually have the CCP saying, no, we are going to pursue these people and try and crush them, even if they're in the United States of America. And so now what we have is this report that the New York Times seems to be sympathetic to the communist Chinese, and maybe they aren't acting directly by this order, but it certainly seems they are, because they're writing a hit piece that seems to be repeating CCP talking points to destroy this group, right?
Yeah, that's true. Basically, what we learned from Sen Yun is, you know, New York Times has been, they have some reporters, they assign some reporters specifically working on a story, you know, around Sen Yun. What we, but you know, the way they work was they, you know, they approach some of the former artists who already left Sen Yun, all the people who worked Sen Yun in the past, but they already left the group because of some personal grudge, or some of the, you know, artists that they are still with Sen Yun, but likely they have some unpleasant experience, like a personal injury. You know, these dancers, this is a dancing group, you know. Dancers, they usually have certain, you know, they're exposed to certain amount of a chance to be injured when they're in training or in performance. So that's the way the New York Times reporters specifically approach these kind of people. And that's how this, you know, it brought to their attention they may be, you know, preparing the hate piece. And that's just the first reason they believe New York Times is preparing a hate piece against the Sen Yun. And the second reason is New York Times in the past 25 years, you know, most of their reports related to Falun Gong, you know, either contains misinformation, disinformation, or the misinterpretation, or they directly quoted the CCP's own media's propaganda language against the Falun Gong, direct quote in their article. So that's the history of New York Times. So bring these two reasons together, and plus, you know, we Epoch Times obtained some internal documents from the CCP, which said ask their overseas agents to, you know, systematically and strategically, you know, use the organizations that's influential in the Western world to, you know, try to help the persecution against the Falun Gong. All these reasons coming together, that's why we run this article.
Yeah. And by the way, it's Epoch Times. For everybody, I think it's confused Epic Epoch. I do the same thing, but it's Epoch Times.
Well, that's actually fine. Epic Times is American ways calling it, and Epoch Times is just Canadian ways calling it. Both ways are fine.
That's okay. Okay. Tomato, tomato. I feel better now. Thank you. Well, okay. Let me ask you this. To your knowledge, has the New York Times, for example, ever run any piece that is critical of the CCP and how they've tortured brutally members that practice Falun Gong, for example? Because isn't that what's happening to these people in China? They're being totally persecuted, tortured, they're being thrown in jails.
Well, based on, you know, what we learned in the past, then, you know, they quoted a lot of CCP propaganda language. For example, in one of the reports New York Times put out there, they actually, that's what they say, they interview a Falun Gong practitioner in China who is still in prison. You know, keep in mind that person was in prison. They interviewed that person. I don't know how they reached that person, but that person was in prison. And then in the brainwash re-education camp. Now, what New York Times quoted that person said was that person told the New York Times that he was treated in the re-education camp. You know, he felt the re-education camp was better than his home. And also, he said, you know, New York Times quoted that the Chinese police treated these Falun Gong people in prison in the re-education camp nicely and kindly. So, you know, so that's how that's kind of a report from New York Times about the persecution of Falun Gong. And also, you know, there was a story that one of the New York Times reporters who was investigating the forced organ harvesting against the Falun Gong practitioners, and he and that person, that reporter working for New York Times, was stopped. He, you know, that person's investigation, the reporter's investigation, was stopped by the manager level of New York Times. So that's the history of New York Times.
Why do you think that the New York Times and other Western American media outlets, for example, why are they so sympathetic towards these communist regimes? Is it just ideological? Like when it comes to the communist Chinese, is it just that they are sympathetic because they are tyrannical mindset themselves and they agree with what the CCP stands for? Or do you think it's more extensive than that, that the CCP actually has infiltrated also many of these organizations?
Well, we don't know the true reasons behind that, but we do know that besides, you know, ideologically, they kind of sympathetic. Now, we know that, you know, starting back in 2017, which is 100 years of Russian's October Revolution, you know, led by Lenin, you know that we saw the New York Times reports that report 100 year anniversary of communist movement. They published some articles like, you know, communist movements have a better sex life or that kind of articles, ridiculous to us. now, but however, they do have some interest, the financial interest. What we know is back in 2001, the then publisher of New York Times, Arthur Sulzberger, you know, who led a bunch of reporters and editors of New York Times to visit Beijing and negotiate with Beijing and have Beijing, you know, they want Beijing to unlock New York Times website in China so the people inside of China can, you know, read, they can increase their readership in China. And after they had some articles praised the communist leader, the then communist leader, Jiang Zemin, then Chinese regime did unlock New York Times website. That's what happened. And Jiang Zemin, the third generation communist leader in China, who was the, you know, communist regime leader who started the persecution against the Falun Gong in 1999.
It's really astonishing in America that a country that was built on the principles of freedom of religion and obviously unalienable rights, that we live in a time in which our own countrymen and the New York Times are defending those ideals that are antithetical to America, that these people that have fled China find no defense in the New York Times or anything else, that instead they find a media that is actually sympathetic with the persecutors. I mean, it's an astonishing story. And, you know, we have to stay in touch because I want to keep following this. This is very important. And, you know, I mean, this is the first I've heard of this group, to be honest. You know, I know they're very world famous and they put on these performances, but, you know, these people are what this country was built on. So, I mean, thank you for being with me today, and we'll follow up soon.
Thank you, Mr. Allen, for having me.
Incredible, isn't it? I mean, the United States of America used to export the ideals of freedom, for example. I mean, even when we made Obviously, I think they were mistakes in retrospect, like Vietnam. I mean, we used to go around trying to extinguish communism because of its threat. And now we have our own country, the New York Times, defending communism. And of course, we see it in the policies from this current administration and the Democrat Party, certainly. But we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, there's much more to cover.
We've learned through the pandemic, we can never be caught unprepared again. And so many Americans, when COVID hit, they had nothing in the house. Stores were shut down and doctor's offices were shut down. And even if doctors prescribed drugs, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, pharmacists wouldn't fill the prescriptions. That was a nightmare.
Now the situation is much worse. We have these horrible supply chain problems. In our emergency medical kit at the Wellness Company, we have 8 prescription drugs that are all potentially life-saving.
Most people died with COVID. They died in the hospital because they didn't receive early treatment.
Every American family should have one of these.
I can tell you the Wellness Company kit is the answer.
Hi neighbor, Pat Boone here. Today, I want to help you find some peace of mind concerning your money. Like it or not, we're all living in a financial war zone. That's right. We're watching our hard-earned dollars get crushed by inflation. In fact, recently inflation reached its highest level in 40 years. And on top of that, cash, which has always represented freedom and privacy, is more and more being replaced by a cashless system. That's right. Powerful forces are definitely waging a war against cash. So I'm encouraging you to prepare before it's too late. Call or text the number on the screen for a free report, The Secret War on Cash from Swiss America. Discover how a few simple steps can protect your money as well as your privacy and your peace of mind. So call or text for your free report, The Secret War on Cash, and make sure to mention Pat Boone sent you.
Well, the border crisis is, as a matter of fact, one of the greatest, well, assaults on this country and our history. And of course, it's being permitted. It's actually being created, invited, this situation, this disaster by the Biden administration. And I want to cue up cut one here. Many of you may have seen this already. This is at the border this week in El Paso. I just want you to think about something when you watch this. Think about January 6th. You had protesters that most of them walked into the Capitol building through open doors upon the invitation of the Capitol Police, as a matter of fact. They were invited in. We have seen the video footage of this. And these were not violent Americans. They simply were herded into the Capitol building. And most of them just walked around and, frankly, enjoyed it like it was a tour. And as a matter of fact, many Capitol Police treated it that way as well, took them on tours. You saw these violent protesters not daring to cross the, the barriers, for example, with the velvet ropes and so on and so forth. And yet, many of these individuals found themselves hunted down by the FBI and thrown in prison for years. And I would remind you that the once former leader of the Proud Boys, he was not in D.C. even. He was actually in Baltimore at the time of J6. But he, of course, was thrown in prison for 21 or 22 years, the longest sentence. That'd be Enrique Tarrio. That's who I'm speaking of course. And so think of that. These people are being thrown in prison for 20 plus years. Enrique Tarrio wasn't even there, but he was supposed the great facilitator of the insurrection. And yet watch this video of the illegals fighting with Border Patrol, National Guard, and entering this country and violating the law. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Amazing, isn't it? Now, these people will all be permitted entry into the United States of America, and they will be rewarded for their crime. You and me, the taxpayer, the legal American citizen, will be paying for their housing, for their medical care, will be paying for their flights to wherever the Democrat Party strategically decides to send them to bolster their electoral college votes and to cheat in the 2024 election, however they want to use these illegals. But, you know, we're looking at 9 million plus that have invaded the country in less than 4 years under the Biden administration. These people are all criminals. They have broken the law. And they won't spend a day in prison. We're supposed to accept this and reward this type of behavior. But people, so, I mean, think of it this way, too. This is why I talk about the big picture and how the American psyche has been so damaged by the Democrat Party and schools and so on and so forth. You know, the U.S. Capitol building, of course, is the people's house. It's our house. Again, we own this government. It's our government. And the crime of trespassing in the Capitol, and even if it's just nonviolently taking selfies, these people are spending time in prison. And yet our house is also the United States of America. And these people, 9 million plus, who have broken in to our country, breaking the law, they are being rewarded. This is the state of the of America right now, of the United States of America. It's very, very sad. It's very, very backwards. And of course, there's no repercussions for the government. You know, you had that Lieutenant Byrd who shot and murdered the unarmed female military veteran, Ashley Babbitt, for, you know, protesting outside the Capitol. He shot her dead. You didn't see any of these National Guardsmen, I believe they were, firing shots into these people who were breaking into our house, did you? And by the way, Lieutenant Byrd is heralded as a hero by the left who did something special for his country on that day by murdering an innocent young woman who had a family and a husband. So it just makes you sick to see. But these are the types of images that are going to ensure Joe Biden and the Democrat Party's defeat, because they can pop out propaganda all day long, but the American people are not buying it. And case in point, I want to play a clip, cut five. This is Chris Hayes, who he's a guy or a girl. I'm not sure. I think he's a man. I think Chris Hayes is a man. I'm not sure. I get confused over there between they, them, and then the other, you know, Rachel Maddow. Like, I can't tell. But anyway, it's okay. I'm not trying to be mean. I mean, I don't want to misgender somebody over there at the network, MSNBC. I mean, that's, I don't want to offend somebody like that. So I'm just trying to be generous. I'm not sure about Chris Hayes. So Chris Hayes, they, them. But, you know, this is the type of stuff we're dealing with. I've got two cuts here. The first is Chris Hayes lying through his teeth about crime coming down under Biden, of course. It defies what you're experiencing with your own eyes every day. And I'll explain how he's doing this and what the government is up to. Go ahead and play cut five.
New data from 2023 indicating that, yes, there was indeed a massive drop in crime last year. According to one crime data analyst who spoke to NBC News, when all is said and done, 2023, quote, we will have seen likely the largest one-year decline in murder that has ever been recorded. It is indisputable the country is getting both safer and more prosperous in the last 4 years under President Biden.
we're getting safer and more prosperous under Joe Biden. Does anybody believe that absolute garbage coming out of the propagandist there, Chris Hayes? So, look, I've got this piece of paper here, and it's more than a piece of paper. It's an article from that was published, I found, at KTLA, June 15th, 2022. So he shows a graph. Crime is going down under Joe Biden. Now, here's how this happens. In America's heartland, this is 2022, mind you, okay? June of 2022. In America's heartland, Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska are among the states with dozens of cities not reporting their data, according to data analysis by the Marshall Project. Although the New York Police Department is listed as one of the law enforcement agencies accused of not reporting its 2021 crime data to the FBI, criminologists say the NYPD still has a very good idea of what's happening in New York City. But the FBI says the only way it can truly assess how bad crime is nationwide is through law enforcement agencies' full cooperation. The New York City and Los Angeles police departments are among the 40% of law enforcement agencies nationwide not sharing their 2021 crime data with the FBI. So Lee is with the Marshall Project, a nonpartisan, nonprofit news organization that covers the country's criminal justice system. Lee discovered what she calls a massive gap in crime data not being reported to the FBI. So as of 2018, more than 16,000 agencies were submitting data. Let's see where we are here now. The FBI announced years ago that by 2021, we won't take data from the old system. So if the FBI doesn't have crime data to report, guess what happens? The crime data that you're being shown is going to go down. So look, I mean, every American knows that crime is on the rise. You turn on the TV, you look at what's happening in San Francisco, Los Angeles. People are living this every single day. Nobody feels safe. You see what's happening on the New York subways. So the idea that they want to tell, oh yeah, just ignore reality. I, Chris Hayes, the brilliant genius, am telling you that crime is down and the economy has never been better. Just ignore your own experience and listen to me, Chris Hayes. Now, cut six. Now, here is Hayes' explanation for why Americans are stupid. Go ahead.
It doesn't seem like that message is getting through, at least not for now. I think it's true for a lot of reasons. Generally related to media consumption. Local news in particular has a number of mostly financial incentives to hyper-fixate on crime, and they do. It's especially true for violent crime, often in a way that's disproportionate to actual statistics. And of course, right-wing cable news has an obvious political incentive to portray life in President Biden's America as negatively as possible.
These people's lack of self-awareness is astonishing. So firstly, I guess he's admitting there somehow that nobody's watching his show and everyone's watching conservative media. I mean, is that what I'm supposed to take away from that? I mean, he's saying there that, you know, it's their fault. Well, he's the one out there spreading this propaganda, telling people not to believe conservative media every day. So if it's conservative media's fault, I mean, what is he admitting? That no one's listening to him? Nobody watches him? That he's irrelevant? But secondarily, think about the laughable claim there that, you know, there's a disproportionate reporting of these violent crimes in America. I mean, who is it that every time there's any instance of a black individual, for example, dying in some kind of exchange with a police officer, that they mobilize BLM to burn down American streets in the name of social justice, meanwhile ignoring the fact that actually there isn't like additional, you know, blacks are not the subject of this, you know, extensive hunt by police officers. It's not true. None of the data backs that up. So who is it that purports, I mean, a mass shooting? We got to get the guns. There was a mass shooting. I mean, these are the guys who are the ones, the propagandists, that sit here and focus on, extract individual episodes and blow it up and pretend like it's happening every day, all over the place, everywhere. But of course, violent crime is happening every day, everywhere. It's not propaganda. These aren't isolated episodes. We're not seizing upon something that isn't, you know, that's a one-off. These are real things that are plaguing the American people. So anyway, I'm going to take one more quick break, and I want to come back. I want to talk about Biden's fascist, targeting of gas-powered vehicles. This is absolutely unconstitutional, what he's doing, mandating electric vehicles. He's pushing that forward. And then a little bit of insight into the Democrats' broken psyche right now and fear about their loss in 2024.
The And my story started with alcohol. And I had tried going to other treatments. And all I did was think about how I was not going to drink or how I was going to drink one more day and then stop the next day. And Katie had found a treatment. I thought it was kind of hokey.
I could see a couple days into it, it's like the light bulb went on with him.
It's an IV infusion of all natural NAD. It saved my life and my family.
We've been where you sit.
The hardest part of this is making that phone call and just coming and talk to us.
MelissaHouseBG.com. Bella Grace Elixir.
She called me today and she told me something and I said, you have got to tell the audience this. They need to hear this because it's really good news for those of you that are taking Bella Grace.
Well, I went to my hairdresser and I had not told her about this product that I've been taking. When she was blow drying my hair, she said, I just noticed when I was parting your hair and fixing it that you have a bunch of new hair growth. I've been going to this lady for probably 13 years and she's never said that to me. And I had noticed it, but for the fact that she noticed it was, I had to call Brand right away and tell him. She just said, you've never had this like this and it's growing and you just have all these baby hairs growing in and they're kind of curly. And so I just told her that what I was taking and she was amazed. So
Bella Grace Elixir. MelissaHouseBG.com.
Well, what do you do if the American people won't buy electric vehicles? What do you do if your insistence that people should buy them? Because if you don't, the world will end. Well, if you're Joe Biden and the Democrat Party, you simply unconstitutionally force Americans to have no choice but to buy electric vehicles. This, by the way, is textbook fascism or semi-fascism in the least. Now, here's the headline from Fox News, at least. Biden finalizes crackdown on gas cars, forcing more than half of new car sales to be electric by 2030. So he's upping the ante. Now, what happened here? You have to understand a couple things. Firstly, the climate agenda. It's an existential threat to our rights. But the Democrats are absolutely dependent, and the globalists, whatever you want to call them, people that are anti-human, that hate human beings, they hate our rights, they want to rule over us. Well, these people are depending upon the climate agenda to finally clamp down and create a new society in which we relinquish those rights to our new masters in government. It's a continuation of the COVID lockdowns. This is the second step. And so obviously, if you can control people's movement, control electricity, control power, you control people. And so you have the Biden administration, and we've had reports recently that, of course, obviously, this is what they're reacting to, in which we learned that executives were stepping down over failed EV pushes. Nobody's buying electric vehicles. So perfect example here, this gets into it. According to the Alliance for Automotive Innovation, an industry group that represents major automakers, 9.3% of total car purchases in the U.S. last year were electric or plug-in hybrids, up from 7% in 2022. So look, 2022 to now, what have we experienced? I mean, the Democrats have been trying to, and the Biden administration has been incentivizing by giving billions of dollars in American taxpayer money to these battery creators for electric batteries for these cars. They've been doing everything they can to convince the American people and force them to buy electric vehicles. But Americans don't want it because it's impractical. If you look, I don't have a problem if you have an electric vehicle. That's okay. That's not what I'm saying. But it's an option. If you want it, great. But they're still, they're not less expensive than gas-powered vehicles. They're extremely impractical, and most people don't want them. So after all this push, all this propaganda, only 2.3% increase in purchases. And most of these, by the way, are in California. So here comes the Biden administration that says, we are going to force, we're going to push nationwide adoption of electric vehicles and are expected to ensure nearly 70% of all new car sales are zero emissions within a few years. So this is rapid. This is going to destroy the country. There aren't charging stations. The electric grids can't possibly actually maintain this. Remember, not long ago, last summer, I think it was, or two summers ago, under this administration, I live in California, and the California government, Newsom, was telling people, do not plug in your electric vehicles because the energy grid cannot power them. So that's what we have now. And so they want to put everyone in electric vehicles. I mean, these people are nuts. And of course, we already had a ruling by the Supreme Court, the EPA versus West Virginia, or vice versa. And they got slapped down. John Roberts wrote, shockingly, a great opinion here, but he told them, you know, you do not have the authority to eradicate entire industries and replace them with something else. You can't eradicate, in that case, it was coal plants. They were trying to put coal plants out of business by, you know, controlling how much CO2 they were allowed to release, for example. And they said, you can't do this. So what does he do? He doesn't care. He's a tyrant. So now he goes after the cars and he's saying, no, you aren't allowed to, you're going to have to sell electric vehicles. So now he's saying the American people don't have a choice. We're going to go after the gun, the auto manufacturers. And this is, by the way, what Trump was talking about when he talked about a bloodbath in the auto industry. Here is your bloodbath. Here's your bloodbath. It's coming. And it's also a bloodbath of our civil rights and our unalienable rights. They're all going away, whether you want them to or not, if this government gets its way. Now, I want to end with this, a positive note, believe it or not. So Time Magazine has this article out, Biden's campaign is in trouble. Will the turnaround plan work? What's the turnaround plan? Well, it's what you heard with Chris Hayes. Lie to the American people. Pump up abortion. Keep calling Trump a dictator and a threat to democracy. That's working so well. Reminder, Joe Biden, to the shock of, you know, Democrats out there, he didn't receive any bump after his State of the Union address, his campaign speech, his attack on Americans. Shock. So anyway, they admit, by the way, this is the one part. And we know Biden's team knows the race could hinge on factors outside their control. 4 years ago this March, the sudden spread of COVID-19 in the U.S. shut down the economy and paralyzed the presidential campaigns. Without the pandemic, this is time, without the pandemic, Trump could well have won. They don't have COVID this year. Things are worse. Donald Trump is more popular than they want you to believe. They want you to be some hesitant. They want you to turn your back on him. But Donald Trump, as a matter of fact, is a fantastic option for president. We lived under his presidency and Biden's presidency. And the Democrats are trying to attack this talking point as well, because everyone, every American knows they were better off under Trump than Biden. So they need to convince you to abandon that notion, which is grounded in reality, and adopt this false worldview based on propaganda that you're better off under Biden than Trump. 2024 is very, very simple. It's Trump versus Biden. And that's the golden question. Are you better off today under Biden than you were under Trump? The answer to that question is definitively no. And that's why Trump's going to win in 2024. This is Drew Allen, your Millennial Minister of Truth. God bless you all. I'll see you next Saturday.